Hello, hello. Welcome back to the On My Mind podcast. My name is Ava. Thanks for being here. I hope you're having a good day. Whenever I start these episodes, I'm like, what does my voice actually sound like? I don't know if you ever experienced this when you're taking a video clip or sending someone a voice memo, recording an audio clip of yourself, whatever it is. I'm like, wait, is that what I actually sound like? I don't know. Because when I re-listen to it later, when I play it back, I'm like, I don't think that's me. Even when I'm listening to myself talk right now, I'm like, is this my real voice? I don't know. But what I do know, it's closer to my real voice than what I use with like strangers or customer service people. That was actually one of my goals for 2024, which I honestly forgot what most of my goals were. So it's kind of funny that I remember this one, but it's something I am constantly trying to work on. And it's hard because I have to make like an active effort to remember to do this. The goal is not going so well. Because when I'm talking to a cashier or like on the phone with booking an appointment or something, my voice goes up 5 octaves. That ain't me. Don't know what goes on with that. Strangers, even when I meet like viewers, I swear my voice gets so high. And I'm like, I don't talk like this. When these people meet me and they know what I sound like in my videos, they're probably like, what is going on? I don't know if I just get nervous or if that's just like a girly, just girly things. Yeah, my voice gets so high. So I'm trying to be more aware of that, but it's really hard. And I feel like naturally your voice just gets higher when you're talking to people. I don't know if it's because I'm nervous or what it is, but yeah, that's kind of an issue. But I'm also like, okay, if I were speaking to like a waitress or something, I'm not going to speak in this voice because it's kind of more monotone. And then I don't sound as friendly. Like I feel like I sound a little more approachable, maybe. I don't know. Anyway, that crisis aside, I just got back from a sunset walk, which was so nice. I was looking outside. I took like a 3-hour nap on the couch, which I never take naps, but I was really feeling unwell and my tummy hurt. So I was like, you know what? I think I'm just so tired because I've been waking up so early the last few days and just getting lots of stuff done that I feel like I haven't been really getting good sleep. And I don't know, I've just been feeling extra tired recently. So I took a nap on the couch and then I woke up and it was like 6 o'clock-ish. So I decided to go for a walk. I worked out first in our gym, which was really nice. I did like a back and bicep day. And then the sky was getting really pretty. And I was like, you know what? I think I can make a walk around the big block in time before it gets dark out. Because I don't really like walking in the dark alone, just because like, obviously. But yeah, that was so nice. I have been going on so many walks this summer, which is really, really nice. I either have to go super early in the day or way later just because it's so hot where I moved. It is like just a pit for it feeling like a sauna all the time. So that's definitely something I've had to get used to because where I grew up, first of all, is like known for having cooler weather. But where I live now, it is just so, so different. The heat truly hits different here. It's kind of crazy. But yeah, speaking of working out, I've been still, guys, I have not dropped out of school. Let's get a round of applause for that. Yeah, still going forward with getting my certificate to be a CPT. If you haven't heard that, it's kind of this little side quest that I'm doing that I'm very excited about. And yeah, I'm kind of in the thick of it now. Before, like the introductory chapters were about ethics and what your scope of practice is and behavioral technique, whatever, like coaching techniques. And I was like, oh, this is going to be easy. I didn't realize I was taking a whole ass science class. It breaks down working out to a literal molecular, cellular level. And oh my gosh, I'm just like, well, it's a good thing I know that the mitochondria is the powerhouse of a cell. That is the one thing I have retained from high school. Probably the only thing. and it's just kind of crazy. I haven't been in a learning state of mind in so long. And it feels good, but it's also like, oh my gosh, I feel randomly so busy the last month with work stuff and personalized life stuff and all these other things. I'm like, this was probably the worst time to like add this into my schedule. But also I was thinking about it. I was like, I don't think there ever would be a quote unquote good time. Like I'm always going to be busy. I'm always going to have excuses. I'm always going to be doing things. So I've been really trying to make a good effort to get this done, get the studying done. And yeah, it's kind of just jarring because I didn't realize I was taking a whole ass science class and I'm pretty sure it's just going to continue to get harder. But yeah, it's so weird because I haven't put pen to paper and written stuff down in so long that I'm like, I am so out of practice for this. And it's kind of a similar feeling when you go on summer break during high school or college and you literally go back to school and you're like, I forget how to hold a pen. I forget how to write. I don't even know how to spell my name. So it's just, yeah, it's an interesting thing to be like back in a learning environment. And I will say, I do not think I am the best online learner. So I feel like my brain has to work a little bit overtime because these concepts are a little bit harder to grasp for me personally. And I find it really interesting. So I feel like that's the only way that I'm like retaining this is because I do find it interesting. But oh my gosh, like online learning is so hard. So I can't even imagine the people that were in school during 2020. That was probably would have actually been insane. But yeah, I'm excited to be learning. My brain is growing because for a while, I had a lot of brain rot. Summer's winding down, but we still have plenty of sunny days ahead, and there's no better way to fuel up for them than with Factors No Prep, No Mess meals. With a busy summer schedule, balancing whatever you have going on, your fun plans, work, wellness, enjoying summer, sometimes there can just be a lot going on, but Factor makes it easy and possible to do both. Factor offers 35 different meals and more than 60 add-ons to choose from every week, so you'll always have new flavors to explore. Their meals are dietitian approved and ready to eat, so no matter how busy life gets, you'll have time to enjoy delicious, nutritious meals with ingredients you can trust. Factor is here to help support your lifestyle so you can choose preferences to help you manage calories, maximize protein intake, avoid meat, or simply eat well-balanced. It's so, so yummy. So let's enjoy summer while eating good. Head to factormeals.com/onmymind50 and use my code onmymind50 to get 50% off your first box plus 20% off your next month. That's code onmymind50 at factormeals.com/onmymind50 to get 50% off your first box plus 20% off your next month while your subscription is active. But yeah, it's definitely making me motivated in my own workouts and my own workout routines. I've been trying a lot of different things lately. You guys know I love my reformer Pilates classes, but I have been wanting to switch it up. So I actually went to my first ever Core Power Yoga Sculpt class, which I really, really liked. And then I tried the Strength X class. If you're familiar with Core Power, you know that like Yoga Sculpt is kind of centered around yoga, but with weights and cardio and HIIT. So it's not exactly like a typical yoga flow at all, but there's just some like yoga concepts and moves that you do. And then Strength X, I thought it was kind of yoga centered as well, but that was kind of just like a circuit training, which was really, really nice. And so, yeah, I tried out those two new workout classes, which I was so scared to do because I went alone. And I feel like going to a new workout class for the first time alone is just always, you feel so humbled. But first of all, I will say literally no one cares. Like no one cares. Everyone's so concerned about themselves. And yeah, it felt really good to do that, to try something new. So I'm definitely gonna make that a part of my routine and incorporate that with like running and walking and like the Pilates that I do at home and lifting. I feel like there's so many different types of workouts that I've been enjoying, which is really fun because for the longest time, I feel like I didn't know what my groove was with working out. I got bored of things really easily. And so I feel like it's good that I like so many different styles of workouts and ways to move my body because it keeps things interesting. I'm not doing the same thing every single day because for me that just gets monotonous and then I get kind of uninspired and just like bored with it. For some people that might work, but yeah, if you feel like you don't enjoy working out, I recommend just trying different things. Try different types of workouts, try more sports-centered workouts, try workouts that aren't even inherently like working out, but you're still moving your body, like a dance class or I don't know, whatever it is, going like to a swim, I don't know. There's just so many different ways that you can incorporate movement into your life, and health is wealth. Our like body, our avatar that we possess is the one we have for the rest of our lives. So it's very important to take care of it. And I'm really learning more about that right now with my schooling, obviously. So I feel like that is making me a lot more motivated as well. But yeah, it's kind of fun to find workouts that you actually enjoy because then I don't dread it. Like I haven't been dreading workouts. What a concept, because I used to freaking hate it. And I used to also feel like I would work out to punish myself, but I also had a really weird relationship with like my body and eating and all of that stuff. So we're in a much better place now and it feels really, really good. I hit a running PR, which I am so excited to share because I feel like it was either the most recent episode or the one before that where I was like, please hold me accountable. You all know that I was in my running phase for a bit, made that kind of my personality, and then dropped off the face of the earth, as I do. I get super hyper obsessed and fixated on something and then completely stop it. So I like stopped running for a month and then I've just been getting back into it. Guys, I ran 4.45 miles, 4.5 miles. which is the longest consecutive run I've ever done. Also just in general at like a, I think 11:15 pace, 11:30, which is pretty good. It was like continuous, no stopping. It was crazy. I did that with Micah and I feel like I've only done my longest runs with him because he's kind of like my motivational coach, honestly, because let me just say, I'm still working on building my mental strength because I feel like my body is getting pretty conditioned and my body can push more, but my brain gives up very easily. So trying to build that muscle, honestly, more than anything else, my mental strength. But yeah, he was kind of the one pushing me through that because I probably would have stopped after 2 miles, but yeah, ran 4.5 miles, which is so wild to me because one, I never really identified as a runner. I never thought that my body was capable of that. So to hit that was really cool. My recent PR before that was 4. And so even just that half mile extra felt so good. And it just kind of proves to me that I can do hard things and I can grow. I can push myself. And it feels really good to challenge myself and do that because I don't feel like I'm challenged a lot in my life. So it's good to honestly do that. Like I said, build that mental strength. There is this little like piece of advice mantra that the workout lady who was coaching us through Strength X at Core Power, going back to that. So I wanted to share this because I really, really liked it. When we were doing something hard, she would literally say, and I really appreciated this. Like when you have a good workout teacher, like an instructor, that makes all the difference. But she kept saying, you can do anything hard for 30 seconds. You can do anything hard for 10 seconds. Like keep pushing yourself. Given this run took like 52 minutes, but yeah, I just love little mantras like that. Honestly, there was a point in the run where I literally thought that I needed to stop. Like my brain did. My body felt good, but I felt like my brain was just playing tricks on me. So I kept chanting in my head, like, yes, I can. Yes, I can. Yes, I can. And then, oh gosh, honestly, it's kind of insane in my head for a minute because I probably chanted that in my head for like 5 minutes straight. But yeah, then I hit a personal record. So that felt really good. Marathon coming soon. Please don't believe me when I say that because the thought of running 22 more miles than that, oh, jail time. There's literally no way. But I will say what I think really helped was that I was watching track on the Olympics all day that I ran that much. And I was just feeling so inspired. Like, wow, something about watching the Olympics will make you feel like you can do anything. Maybe not go to the Olympics yourself. But yeah, I was feeling a little inspired. So that definitely helped. This could be a controversial topic because I understand why. There's so many. I've never seen a movie with more mixed reviews. I watched It Ends With Us. I watched it with Micah's sister and cousin because, first of all, I have to give credit to the book in a sense that that is the book that got me into reading. And so I will always appreciate it for that. Like that book single-handedly started my whole reading journey. And I'm so grateful for that because for so long, I just wasn't a reader and I had not enjoyed reading since I was little. So for me to start enjoying reading as an adult, I would just always appreciate the book for that. So I was very curious and excited to watch this movie, especially because I really wanted to see Justin Baldoni, who he was played one of the main characters, but also directed it. And I really, really like him. And so I was really curious to see how this movie went. So we went and I can see why people are really unhappy with it, but also see why people like it. I will say, as someone who read the book, I almost feel like the experience might have been better if you hadn't read it, because I feel like the movie missed on so many important like key things. And I will say, I love Blake Lively. I love Serena Vanderwoodson. I'm like, let's break that down. I love Serena Vanderwoodson. But I just feel like, I don't know, I think I would have, I go personally as a professional casting agent, I would have cast someone else just because I feel like in the books, Lily was supposed to be a lot younger. And so I think that's what a lot of the readers are upset about, is that she kind of, I don't know, it didn't feel like Lily Bloom. But yeah, that might also just be on me because I literally just only see her as Serena Vanderwoodson because all I ever do is watch Gossip Girl. So that could definitely just be a me thing. I keep seeing these TikToks of other people that could have been casted that would have like matched the role better. And I kind of agree with that. Like I said, love Queen Serena, Gossip Girl fan for life. But yeah, I don't want to dive into that too much because I know people have very mixed opinions on the movie. But yeah, I watched it. Let me know what you think. I'm super, super curious because like I said, some people love it. Some people absolutely like hate it. I don't know. I do think I would have liked it a lot more though if I hadn't read the book, because I was like, oh my gosh, what about this and this? But yeah, overall, I didn't not like it. I liked the movie. It was good. Initially, when we were walking out, I was like, oh, I think that the movie did a pretty good job. And then I sat on it and I was like, Lily, like that was not, like she was supposed to be younger. Also, I will say like the wardrobe choices did not feel like the characters. I don't know. I feel like when you read a book and you get so into it, you build this image of what you think the movies should be like. And then it's always like, I don't think I've ever met anyone who's like been happy with a movie adaptation of a book. Anyway, I've truly watched more movies in the last 2 weeks than I have in the last 5 years, honestly. Wolverine or Deadpool 3, talked about that already. Slay. Loved it. I also watched Twisters. Everyone keeps calling it the Glenn Powell movie. Babe, that is the Daisy Edgar Jones movie. I love her. I am such a big fan of her. I think I've just been a big fan of her for so long. Normal People, she was so good in. And then what is that book called? Where the Crawdads Sing. That movie adaptation I thought was really good. She did a great job. And so I've been obsessed with her ever since. And so, yeah, I really like Twisters. It was a good movie. I honestly was like, I don't know how they're going to make a whole movie about Twisters. Like, I don't know. It's a standalone sequel to the one that was filmed in the 90s. Yeah, I think it was the 90s. But yeah, I watched that with my parents. It was so good. I want to see it again with Micah because we were talking about it. But yeah, been watching lots of good movies recently. It's a good month of movies. However, it's not the way it used to be for like a $5 matinee. Tell me how between the three of us, like watching It Ends With Us, it was over $100 for the snacks that we got, the tickets. What? Oh, that is so crazy. So anyway, watching movies right now feels like an expensive hobby. So I think I'm going to slow down for a sec. I don't think there's any other movies coming out. I probably won't see another movie until the Hunger Games prequel comes out. That is so exciting. I'm like quaking in my boots knowing that there's going to be a new Hunger Games from Haymitch's year. I can't even talk about it because it's literally coming out in November 2026, which is not this November, not next November. The one after that, I could be married by then. So a lot will probably change by the time that comes out. But yeah, that'll probably be the next time I go to see a movie. But I've had a lot of fun with that. I'm doing an advice sesh today, number 15, which is crazy. That's actually one of my favorite numbers. That was my volleyball number for a while. And also, I just love the number 5. I'm a big odd number girl. I was about to say I'm a big odd girl number. Yes, that makes so much sense. I feel like a lot of people like even numbers, but the radio, please. The music needs to be on an odd number, the volume on the TV. And I've like almost gotten a little too obsessed with it. But anyway, yeah, love an odd number, except on the AC. Like my AC is set at 74. And then if I want it really low, it'll be at 69, but like not 68. But 72 is fine. So that's like the only ways I like even numbers. I'm not going to dive into these weird idiosyncrasies too much right now because we have an advice sesh to get into. That was a little side note. But yeah, I asked you, as I usually do on the podcast Instagram, to write in any questions on things you need advice on. So take it with a grain of salt, take it, leave it, don't hold me liable. You know the shtick. Talking to strangers, aka potential friends. I think that one of the best things you can do in any conversation with someone new, someone you already know, is to be a good listener and really actively listen to people instead of worrying about what you're going to say next and worrying about the next topic that you're going to bring up. Really just be in the conversation and be intentional. That has helped me so much, really listening to people, because I feel like before, and I'm also really the anxious type, especially with new people, so I understand how hard it can be, but I feel like I was always, like my brain was always somewhere else in a conversation. And I think the best thing that you can do when you're talking to someone is make them feel heard and like listened to, instead of you in your own head thinking about, okay, what am I gonna say next? Like really listening to what they have to say and then going from there. I think being an active listener is so important and makes such a big difference when you're in conversations with people. So that's something I would definitely keep in mind, is to just like get out of your head, really be there in the moment listening to what they have to say, and then take it from there, because I feel like I've been so removed from conversations without even trying to be, because I'd be like, okay, what am I going to say next? What am I going to bring up next? Like, I feel like it's the human condition that people want to be heard. You know what I mean? And I've noticed that people really appreciate that when someone makes them feel that way, they're going to want to talk to you more and want to talk to you again. But also, I feel like specifically when it comes to talking to strangers, you truly have nothing to lose. Like, just be yourself, have fun with the conversation. They don't know you. You might not ever even see them again. So literally, what do you have to lose? That could be your future potential bestie. You never know if you don't put yourself out there. And yeah, I think taking the pressure off of it really, really helps. And that also helps you just be more present too. How to get off my damn phone. You know I care about you when I'm answering this question, because by you getting off your phone, that means that you can't watch my YouTube videos and watch my Instagram. No, phone addiction is so real. I have been there. Sometimes I still am there. It comes, it goes, but I feel like when you get to the point of you're just so sick of it, but it's like a cycle and you literally can't stop, that is actually just the worst feeling. What has helped me the most is finding activities and things to do that I can't, I don't even have the space or time to use my phone. So for example, let's say you're reading, you can't be on your phone while you're reading, which is so, so nice. Incorporating different things into your life that you can't be on your phone for, like cooking, making a recipe, even if you're using your phone for the recipe, like you can't actively like be scrolling through social media while you're using the stove or whatever, just finding different activities, playing pickleball, playing tennis, going outside, going on a run, things that you can add, like little activities that you just can't be on your phone for, which is really, really nice. Even taking it a step further and leaving your phone behind, which I know sounds impossible because it's like an extra limb at this point, but sometimes you gotta do what you gotta do. Also, I will say one of the easiest little hacks, just keep your phone on do not disturb. I feel like the reason we keep going on our phones is because something will pop up, a notification will pop up on the screen, and then you're like, oh, let me check that. And then you get sucked into this hole of the phone. If you have your phone on do not disturb, you're not going to be getting notifications. So it's kind of, there's nothing really attracting you to check your phone for. So that has honestly really, really helped me. I feel like my screen time on the days that my phone is mostly on do not disturb is really, really low. Also, I've seen on TikTok people, I've learned this from my scrolling addiction myself, but I've seen on TikTok people changing like the color grading on their phone, because in your brain, something is a lot less interesting if it's in black and white, for example, which is also maybe extreme, because I like can't imagine looking at my phone in black and white. I feel like that would bother me, but your brain is a lot less stimulated by that. So you're not as likely to stay on your phone that much. You gotta do what you gotta do. Find what works for you. When it's really bad for me, also, like if I'm in the middle of a scrolling party, I will physically throw my phone across the room, like bye. And then I'm too lazy to go up and get it. So that also works. How to overcome comparison, even though I know I shouldn't. Rush is not for the weak. First of all, girl, I give you so much props, because I would not thrive in that environment. I just know myself. That actually sounds like my worst nightmare, but I understand you got to do what you got to do what you want to do. Comparison is such a normal thing. Don't beat yourself up about it. So many people go through it. Most people go through it. Even the people that you compare yourself to are probably comparing themselves to other people. I think one of my biggest pieces of advice to overcome that is realize that being you is your biggest power, because there is no one like you. And I feel like that's something that a parent would say, like, oh, your uniqueness is what makes you special. But it's honestly so true. Like, you were crafted, whatever you believe in, you were crafted into this person. Like, you are the only one. You are one of one. Like, no one else that exists is you. And there's so much power in that. And I feel like comparison typically gets worse when you are not giving yourself the love that you should. I notice for me, I start comparing myself more when I'm not doing the things that I want to be doing, and I'm not treating myself that I want, the way I want to treat myself. And then it kind of just like forms into this ugly thing where I start comparing myself to other people. I feel like you can really help yourself by doing the things that make you feel good, that make you feel good about yourself. Because when the self-love is high, the confidence is high, and inherently the comparison goes down. What are some fun little hobbies that I can do when I'm tired after work? Okay, post-work, if you're feeling tired, you're probably not gonna wanna do something that expels a lot of energy. So maybe something calming. I don't know if you're artistic, but drawing? Painting, like a paint and sip. It doesn't even have to be like an alcoholic drink, but paint and drink an Olipop or a poppy or whatever fun little juice that you like. Make yourself a little cute little drink and a nice glass. something artsy like that could be fun. Even just doing like at home dry, air dry clay is really, really fun. You don't have to go to a whole studio to do that. You can literally just get like a block of air dry clay and make cute little things and then paint them. You can make little magnets or even like a little trinket dish. That's super, super fun. You could get into gaming. I don't know what you're into. So that's also an option. I randomly really love playing video games on our Xbox, which is something I never thought I would say, but love to play Call of Duty, which I also never thought I would say. Am I good at it? No, but you don't have to be good at something to enjoy it. I know sometimes cooking feels like a chore, and for some people that's like a hobby, but for other people it kind of drains them. I understand both. I think baking never feels like a chore, and that also just feels like, I don't know, a cute little way to unwind, but you also get a treat out of it, and it's fun, it's an activity. So maybe try making a new recipe, a baked good. This one might not even seem like a hobby because it's probably just a part of your routine, but you can totally make your skincare routine a hobby, for example, and make a whole thing out of it. Maybe giving yourself like at-home facial nights. That's so fun. I feel like self-care in itself can be a hobby. Plus, you benefit because you feel so good about yourself after, and it's just so relaxing. But even just getting super into skincare and getting different devices that you can use, doing like little at-home facials on yourself and kind of going the extra 9 yards instead of your normal skincare routine. And of course, you know this one's common, but I have to say it, reading, it's so relaxing, sometimes too relaxing, like it'll straight up put me to sleep. But sometimes I want that also. If you aren't into reading, I'm a firm believer that you just haven't found the right book yet. And also another shout out to my Kindle. Getting that has literally changed the game for me and has made reading, honestly, more fun, more easy, more accessible. And yeah, I've been really, really enjoying that. How do I stop caring what other people think about me? I feel like I have literally made a whole episode about this, so I would go looking for that because I feel like I've dived into this topic before. But to sum it up for you, what people's perception of you is not in your control. And so letting go of that is so, so freeing. Also, just because someone perceives you a certain way doesn't mean that that's true and that's you. Everyone's gonna perceive you and make judgments on you based on what they've personally gone through. And that is not a reflection of who you are because everyone has different experiences with people and also just different experiences in their life, which makes them perceive others a certain way. And I feel like just knowing that feels so good because you're like, yeah, it's not my responsibility to make sure that people like me. Like, if you don't like me, first of all, you're lost. And second of all, that's not my fault, nor should I care, because truly, like, what role does that play in my life? If I give that power, what does that say about me? Do I not have like a strong enough sense of self where I take what other people's opinions are of me and make it truth? Like, I know who I am. And so working on that, building that confidence within yourself helps so, so much. And I feel like for me, especially being on social media as long as I have and constantly getting opinions, sometimes not the nicest ones and not constructive criticism, but straight up just like mean people on the internet, I feel like one, you almost build a thick skin to it, but two, you also realize that no one knows you the way you know you. And so if you know the truth, you know who you are, no one can take that away from you. And that is your power. What got you motivated to start running? I'm wanting to start a new hobby, yoga and running. That is so, so fun. It's going to be an interesting journey. And I say that, I don't know your background, but I say that because for me, I was like, this is going to test me. And it sure has, because it is like something that you have to practice at and keep doing to make progress, obviously. But that's honestly with anything in life, but truly it is just like the most rewarding thing ever. So I definitely recommend you stick with it. You can do it. Just try it out for a bit. Give it a chance. I feel like even if you hate it after one run, you got to give it a little bit more time, because I probably would have quit after doing it once because I was like, literally, what the heck? First of all, I'm weak. I can't run. I'm out of breath. Like, this feels so, so awful. And then you feel runner's high for the first time and your world changes, and then you chase that for the rest of your life. What got me into running? Completely misses the question. What got me motivated to start running was honestly Micah, because he got into running and I was like, I'm not going to let my boyfriend become a marathon track star and me just like sit on my ass doing nothing. So it kind of started to be something that we do together. So we will go on runs together, which is good because it holds me accountable, but I'll also go on runs when I'm alone just because honestly, it's kind of become a competitive thing for me because he can run farther than I can right now. Like, he has run 10 miles. Sir, I'm so horrified at the thought of having to do that, but I know I will one day, and I know that I can if I want to, because there was a point where running 1 mile was so hard for me, and I just ran 4.5, and like, I probably could have gone a little bit more, you know? So it's something that I feel like you can actively improve week by week, which is a really, really good feeling. So that keeps motivating me to go back. Some days I just want to never run again because, you know, not all days are going to be good days with running, but that's kind of the fun of it. It's kind of like a game. And I also feel like I just wanted the mental challenge for myself because I don't always feel mentally challenged in my life. And so it's nice to have something to work towards. The healthy competition of wanting to be able to run with Micah. So that definitely motivated me. And also just seeing like the running TikToks of people being like, mile one, mile two, mile three. And I'm like, girl, first of all, how do you look perfect running? How are you not sweating? And is this real? But yeah, I feel like all those things motivated me to start running. And it feels really, really good. I also just feel like I wasn't getting enough cardio in my life because I haven't taken cycle classes recently ever since I moved. And so I wanted to find a way to get cardio in. And that was kind of like the perfect avenue to do that because running is like one of the few free things other than getting a pair of running shoes if you don't already have one. But things are so expensive nowadays. Like to work out, it can be so expensive. Workout classes and all these different things. Running is free. And obviously you have to find a place to do that where you feel safe. But yeah, that's what got me started. It ebbs and flows when I'm feeling motivated with it. I'm not always like, yes, I love running. And then other days, I love it. Other days, I hate it. But it's part of the fun. Not that you asked for my advice on how to start, but I'll give it unsolicitedly. Anyway, I wanted to say that it's okay to get frustrated, but don't give up on yourself. And I say that because I was getting so frustrated when I first started, just because it's a new thing that you have to learn. And it's different from any other exercise because it's just such a test of your mental strength, honestly. But it kind of becomes a game where you're like, okay, can I push myself a little bit farther? Can I not give into my mind wanting to quit and see what my body can really do? It kind of becomes fun to like play that game with yourself. Also, tracking my runs has been so nice because I just like, I want to see the stats after. I want to be able to take a screenshot and post it on my Instagram story and be like, look, I ran this much. So that motivates me. I use the Nike Running Club app. I love it so much. It's free. It's tracked all my runs for the last however long. I guess I used it when I was younger too, because I have stats on there from 2016, which is, oh my God, 8 years ago. So that's the app that I use. They also have guided runs on there, which is actually what I started with. So there's a lot of features on that app that I would definitely recommend trying out just to see what you like. I did my first like 3 or 4 runs as a guided run, which is basically a coach that coaches you through the run, what they want you to do. And it's really, really nice, especially if you're beginning, but now I kind of just do my own runs and then track it with that app. So definitely recommend that. This is gonna sound dumb, but put on a cute running fit. When I feel like I'm looking fabulous, I'm going to run better. And unfortunately, that has just like proven true every single time. So I'm like, okay, let's get ready. Let's look cute. Let's do my hair in a cute little like high pony braid and have a good run. Okay, this is the last question that I'm going to answer. How to make plans that do not require drinking for girls in their 20s? I love this question. I think it's a really unique one. And I understand what you mean. There's been times where I get very just like frustrated with drinking culture. And so I totally understand where you're coming from. Sometimes you just want activities to do that don't center around drinking and getting like messed up, being hungover the next day, which just like always sucks. And I will say it can be hard when that is like the culture in your 20s. So first of all, I would say that the people that you're making plans with, you have to make sure that they're also down for that, because if they are in a phase of life where all they want to do when they hang out with the girls is go out, party, then they're probably like not gonna wanna have a silly little like non-drinking activity. But I feel like the thing is if you are a fun person, you're gonna have fun regardless. So like that aspect doesn't really matter. But anyway, gather a group of girlies who don't care if drinking is not involved. And that's okay if like people do wanna go out. Like I'm not throwing shade at that, because do I like to dabble sometimes? Yes. I will say I do lean more towards like non-alcoholic activities, just because, yeah, lately that's kind of been my vibe. But sometimes the vibe changes, you know, when you're in a certain phase of life, sometimes that's what you want to do. And that's totally okay. Anyway, not to make this a whole segment on drinking culture, but plans that you can do. You can plan a cute little picnic date. That sounds so good. Make a cheese board with different crackers, cheeses, olives, grapes, and have a sunset picnic date. Does that not sound amazing? Yes, it does. And also, I feel like one of the biggest and most fun things is that there's so many non-alcoholic drinks out there that are so good. Anything alcoholic can be made non-alcoholic pretty much. So even if you host or someone hosts like a mocktail dinner night, and you can make a whole activity out of making mocktails, cutting up the lime and the lemon and the garnishes. You can have so much fun making mocktails. Like, that in itself is a fun activity. I am just realizing that I completely misread the question, and the question was how to make plans that don't require drinking, not what are plans that I can make that don't require drinking. My apologies, but hey, you could still use those ideas anyway. It can be hard because you can't control what other people do, obviously. And so, like, if someone wants to drink, that's their choice. Obviously, if you don't want to drink, that's your choice. I just think everyone needs to be respectful of each other and what each other wants to do, because there's nothing worse than someone who's like, why aren't you drinking? Or someone who's like, why are you drinking? You know what I mean? Let's just all stay in our own lanes, let each other be adults, do what you want to do. But I think to make plans that don't require drinking is to realize that nothing requires drinking. I've gone to the club and have not drank alcohol, and I've still had a great time. Like I said earlier, activities are not made fun by alcohol. It's the people. Like, it's if you are going to make the choice to have fun or not. Because I feel like for me, a lot of the times when I'm in group situations, like, I'm usually the friend that doesn't really like to drink at all, or just not that much. And so one thing about me, I'm obviously not going to let people peer pressure me into doing things I don't want to do. So sometimes when we would go out, I would literally just be like the sober one. But you would never know. And people would literally think that I was drunk, because that's just like the personality that I would bring. And so you can have fun doing literally anything with or without alcohol. I don't think there's anything that you have to drink, if that makes sense. So any plan doesn't have to center around drinking, if that makes sense. Even if you guys go to like a rooftop bar, get cute little mocktails. Like, a bartender isn't going to be mad if you ask for something virgin. And also, I think we can agree that most of the time, virgin drinks taste better because alcohol makes things taste bad. And maybe that's just because I just like don't really like the taste of it. So sometimes I gotta power through. But yeah, I hope you enjoyed listening to this episode. Thanks for tuning in. I will talk to you next week. Thanks so much for listening to this podcast and supporting it. You are so, so appreciated. That's all I gotta say today. And that was everything on my mind.
Sally from finance loves fly fishing. She used to spend her weekend surrounded by receipts. Then she switched her company to Ramp. Now, spend is all under control, all in one place. Her team submits their expenses with a text, and she can close the books without all the busy work. So Sally's weekends are all her own, surrounded by fish, not receipts. Switch your business to ramp.com and love finance again.